Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, January 26, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXX, paragraph 5, begins with all these and many others, and ends with the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Today's readers are Penny L.C., Margaret D. for the 12 Steps, Wendy M. for the 12 Traditions. Penny L.C. will read and comment on our text, Robin P. will close this out, and Laura W. is here for backup. Thank you for that. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for January 25th is 21073. That's 21073. And the reference ID for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard, goodness gracious, pardon me, please, for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21075. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless. Lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. And I'll now ask Wendy M. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Elaine. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Those problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy Ann. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXX, paragraph 5, which begins with all these and many others and ends with entire abstinence. I'll ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. Elaine, thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And what I know today is that I'm being told what I believe are facts. You know, facts. If I choose to take that first compulsive bite, I will ignite the phenomenon of craving. Because my body has a reaction from certain foods and behaviors, and because I have a physical allergy. It's pretty straightforward the way it's explained here, and yet I went for years without understanding these aspects of it and really kept spinning my wheels. So if I look at these words too, phenomenon, it's an occurrence, an event, a happening, a fact that I have a craving in my body that is going to drive me to want to eat more and more and want to pick up that first bite. I have an allergy, a physical allergy, something that my body reacts to like nothing, like many people's does not. The same way I don't react to cats when I'm in their presence. I don't react to peanuts if I eat them, because I don't have allergies to those things. But I have an allergy to certain foods and certain food behaviors. but to be promised a relief, oh my word, what an amazing situation. I'm promised reassurance following the release from distress or anxiety. I mean, I lived in distress and anxiety, and I'm being told that I will have relief from that so long as I choose entire abstinence. That's a miracle. To have an explanation for my problem, my physical problem, and incredibly being given a solution, a physical solution for that problem, is nothing short of a miracle. You know, and I have to also mention that this plan is necessary for my physical disease and entire abstinence. Yet, I need to acknowledge that it's not sufficient, that my mental and emotional distress is centered in my spiritual well-being. Therefore, the rest of the solution is an entire psychic change, which this book is prepared to guide me toward, if I'm willing to do the work. You know, and no other weight loss scheme, no diet, no self-help plan could promise me complete and lasting relief like I'm promised.
Central
My
mantra?
Entire abstinence, thank you. How do I gain that entire abstinence? I seek and follow the guidance of my higher power. Thank you for letting me share with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny Elsie. Okay, so we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star one to unmute. Give me your name.
Wendy M.
Bruce E.
Wendy M. and Bruce E.
And Bill of Illinois.
Bill from Illinois. Justine Jerry. Was that Justine?
Yes, Jay.
15 Jay? Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. Room for one more? Okay,
Mary
let's
C.
go. Mary C. Thank you, Mary C. We have Wendy M., Bruce E., Bill from Illinois. Didn't get your last initials of your last name. Justine J., Joan Marie M., and Mary C. So, Wendy M., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Bruce E.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Thank you, and thank you, Elaine, and thank you for the lead share there. Right, so this is the big secret, right? Like I remember I was in program, it's been 23 years, and in 2015 I happened upon a beautiful human being who said there's something called the big book. You know, what are you talking about? The big book. Now we're going to turn to page XXX, he said. There's these two words, entire and abstinent, right? I'd never heard of that before, and I was in OA for a while. And I always call these two words and this chapter the game changer. Like, this is where everything changes. I mean, really, really, really going from black and white to technicolor. You know, and when I saw that, I didn't quite get it at first. You know, because I'm an addict, and the word entire, that's itchy and scratchy for me. That's not a word I really want to look at. I want to negotiate things. I want to say, you know, but maybe this stevia is going to work out. Or maybe that, right? Just, and the minute I got that, the minute I understood what they're saying here, and I became entirely abstinent, it was the miracle, or the beginning of the miracle. Because it was complete surrender. And for some reason, I was willing to become entirely abstinent. I stopped negotiating, stopped, you know, trying to that certain food or food behaviors were still going to be okay. But when I got abstinent, and this is just my experience, and I hope it's helpful to the newcomer or somebody suffering, the minute I got off the ingredients, within a day and a half, I was neutral. I was really, truly neutral. That was a miracle. I call it magic. I don't know. It's divinely inspired. but these two words were so powerful. And then it says relief, not just relief from the food. Can you imagine that I wake up every day and I have relief from the food because I'm entirely abstinent? That's insane. But as it was said, and as we say, you know, you put the food down and then the mind pops up, right? And so that's where it's a must to do the steps, right? Because my mind pops up and thinks of things and if I'm in my mind like that without the steps, I am absolutely going to pick up some food at some point. I just will, because I have the buildup of human emotion. We all do. So it turns out that we have to work the step, you know, it's mandatory actually, you know, and that's how this thing works. Like step one is we don't have the power. Step two is I got to go get that power or else.
Until then,
yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for letting me share it.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Bill from Illinois. Please share with us, Bruce.
Yes, thank you. I'd be glad to share here on this. I just tremendous information here that came to me when I got into this program. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Southwest Florida. And it says all these and many others. So the all these would be the above, the psychopath, emotionally unstable, which I am, that or parts of that. And one symptom in common, they can't start using the addictive substance without developing phenomenal craving. And it goes on to say that there's an allergy here involved in on this. So when I start using sugar or other addictive substances, the allergy comes, it triggers the allergy, and then comes in the phenomenon of craving. And but I'm an entity that's different from others. My wife doesn't have this problem. She can use sugar, and the allergy doesn't come in, and she doesn't get the phenomenon of craving either. But I'm a different entity from her. I'm a different kind of person. The differentiates me from others is that I have this special situation where I have this allergy. And, you know, anyway, even if I didn't have this allergy, it'd be good to not be eating all that stuff I was eating anyway, you know, regardless of that. But, you know, it causes me to be more healthy at a minimum. At a maximum, it keeps me from killing myself, taking the supreme sacrifice. So I have this allergy also to cats. I have an allergy. I love cats. Man, I love them just like I love sugar. I love sugar. But I have an allergy to both of them, and it causes the phenomena of craving. When I get around cats, I want to really be around cats because I love them so much. But then my eyes get red, and watery, and all that, and itchy. And it even gets into my lungs, So I have to stay completely away from cats, just like I have to stay completely away from sugar. I can't take it. And I can't just pet a kitten that comes by. I can't take any sugar or the other addictive substances at all because I'm allergic to it. The allergy comes, then the phenomenon of craving. And then later on, the obsession and compulsion, that comes on pretty quick too. That's the third little deal that happens there. It makes me absolutely crazy. So I'm not crazy today. I'm abstinent. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Okay, now we have Bill from Illinois. Bill, what's the first initial of your last name? Bill from Illinois. Star one to unmute, please.
Thank you. Bill K. From Illinois. Thank you. Just grateful to be introduced to this OA Visions call and program and a different way of looking at recovery for, for me. And I love that last sentence. The only relief they have to suggest, we have to suggest, is to entire abstinence. There's no permanent eradication of the craving. As long as I live, can't accept that. When I take that first bite of the sweet dessert or the salty, crunchy, whatever, simple carb or bread, it sets me on the roller coaster. My task is to avoid the cravings. And I have that just ingrained into my thinking. It's helping tremendously. It's helping tremendously. And thank you so much for that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bill K. Okay, Justine J., you are up next, followed by Joan Marie M.
Hi, Justine, compulsive overeater. I wanted to share just to make sure I'm participating. I'm fairly new, and I relate so much to this. But being new, it's like something that's always thwarted me from this program or just like confused me and puzzled me is like, how do I know exactly what to abstain from? Like, yes, I'm not adding sugar. I'm not eating sugar and I'm not eating white flour and all that right now, but bananas have sugar. And if I'm making a smoothie with peanut butter and bananas, even almond butter unsweetened, like even if it's unsweetened ingredients combined, like sometimes I'm afraid, this is scary for me because I know that like it's different for everybody. But it's hard. I'm starting my fourth step. I need to make copies. That's where I'm at, is that I'm stuck with the papers printed and going to make copies and start the writing. And it's been impossible for me to get out to the place to make the copies, but I'm still doing readings. I was on the earlier meeting. I'm at a meeting now, and I don't want to go back to that thinking that makes me feel like, oh, okay, well, this is okay, because I know it's not. Like, I know I have a problem, and I'm just so grateful for everybody's shares and complete abstinence. That's, like, the puzzling part. I'm like, am I completely abstinent? I don't know. But I guess that comes with the time, so I'm just going to keep coming back. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. So glad you're with us on this journey, Justine. Okay, Joan Marie M., you're up next, followed by Mary C. Please share with us, Joan Marie.
Hi there. Good morning, everybody. I'm Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace and the power of God. Well, you know, there's so much in this paragraph that it's unbelievable. So I'm going to start with where I was about the absolute entire abstinence. In OA years ago, there was someone that used to say, be imperfectly imperfect. And that was such a layway of saying something that just... So I never got the thing about entire abstinence until vision. And so... I've had neutrality around the food, and it's phenomenal because I've never had that before. But what happened on that neutrality around food, I got on the edge of the cliff, pushing that my neutrality around food to the limit. And I really had to get honest with myself and my sponsor, for that is the only way it works for me, to be honest, open-minded, and willingness. I have an allergy. I can't fool around with it. It'll kill me. And so with that, I know that I cannot eat like a regular person, a normal, sane eater, and I need to get that in the very heart, my very heart, and to know that I can't fool around with it. It's complete and absolute abstinence for me. You know, the foods that I was fooling around with were not my alcoholic foods, but there was a door open that could lead me back, and I don't want to ever go back there. So I'm saying I am completely and absolutely abstinent, and I say that by being honest, open-minded, and willingness. Thank you for all your wonderful shares, because it keeps me from that slippery place, that cliff. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. I agree. Thank you all for your wonderful shares. Mary C. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page XXX, paragraph 5, begins with all these and many others, and ends with the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Please share with us, Mary C.
Hi, Mary C. from Ohio, a compulsive overeater. And this paragraph means a lot. I just finished yesterday reading, listening to a podcast explain in detail what an allergy is and how it causes a phenomenon of craving in the body. And it is physiologically happens in your body by the breaking down of certain chemicals in your body, and that actually instant it creates that craving in some people. Therefore, it is a disease. And I always thought my whole life it was willpower. It's not willpower. I do, and I think I realize now I do have this disease. I do have this allergy, and the only way to alleviate this allergy is by abstinence from certain substances, which for me is major is sugar. And I cannot have sugar, because once I have sugar, I cannot stop eating the sugar, and I want more and more and more. And that's what the phenomena of craving is. You want more and more and more. And with abstinence, I have been given the gift of food neutrality. And I have to say it's not 100%, but I would say 95% of the time I have food neutrality. And to me, that is a miracle, because I've never had it in my entire life. So this program works if you work it. So I am so grateful to everybody here doing service on this meeting. I love this meeting, and I'm so grateful that you're all here. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary C. Okay, though we do value everybody's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Polly B. Okay.
I heard Polly B. and
Darian
K. Yeah. Anybody else?
Kathy B.
Jill C.
I think I heard Kathy B.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, that's all I got in the last one.
Dana P.
Dana P.
Jill C.
Jill C. Okay, that sounds great. We've got Polly P., Darian K., Kathy B., Dana P., and Jill C. Please share with us, Polly, you'll be followed by Darian K.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Polly B., as in boy, in North Carolina, grateful to be recovered just for today. And I've been on since 7 and wanted to go back to the other aspect of our disease, which is behavior. I would say that my compulsive behaviors were as much of a challenge as the food substances and ingredients and formulations. And I was a grazer I did not know how to eat three meals a day. I had spent my entire life, since the time I could control putting food in my mouth in the high chair, playing around with my food, eating as little as I could eat to relieve hunger, but not eating so much that I would feel full. And that was because I had digestive issues since I was born. And so eating was a very unpleasant experience, yet absolutely necessary. And something that our feeding was quite inconsistent. So I had all sorts of food scarcity behaviors, like hoarding and nibbling and this grazing. And I couldn't go out of the house or get in the car for a 10-minute drive without enough food supplies in case it got stranded somewhere. And those behaviors really took me months, even after I was absent, with regard to the food ingredients and substances. And my first sponsor let me go, thank God, though I was in my eighth step at the time. It was devastating. But she used a term that I used many times since. She said she didn't know how to sponsor me anymore. I was still playing around with my food, and the image wasn't exactly what I was doing 6 years ago, but if you can imagine a toddler in the high chair moving around the Cheerios or the little bits of broccoli they don't want to eat or whatever, that's what I did every day with my food plan. I'd switch things around just as something to control. And by then I had let go of many other substances and was also involved in another 12-step program for relationships, and I was letting go of control and of a lot. And food was the last thing on the block I could control. And I also used food for entertainment and reward and pleasure and demonstrating love and giving myself love and self-care. So getting down to three meals a day where food is just nutrition took me quite a while. And if anyone else is struggling like that, thank you. It is a real thing. And I'll pass. Thank you so much, moderator.
Thank you so much, Polly P. Darian K., you're up next, followed by Kathy B.
Good morning. This is Darian K. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Okay, awesome. Yes, I'm Darian K. in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. I'm gratefully recovered today, and I'm so awesome to be on the meeting with you guys this morning. So much is running through my head. You know, I'm so grateful the a newer person shared. It is very confusing. I feel like you know, this Alcoholics Anonymous book was written because abstinence is like you don't drink alcohol, so you can abstain completely, right? But we have to eat to live, so we have to make at least three good choices a day. With food, and so we can't just, you know, put it on the shelf and leave it alone. And so it does take, it takes an honest appraisal, of our food, particular foods and food ingredients, you know. And I've been in program for a while, and I think, and this is my opinion, that this evolves. You know, I think back to what I ate 30 years ago when I first came in, to what I'm eating today. And there's some foods that I can't eat without wanting more. And so those have, you know, gone on the list of foods that I choose not to have today. And when I, you know, when I measure my food, because that's what I do too, I'm a quantity junkie. and so when I measure my food and I, in my head, I say, oh, it's so good. I want some more. I want more. You know, I have to look at that. I have to be like, why would you want more of that? You know, is this something that you need to look at? Is there another level that you need to achieve here to make your food less sexy and a little more neutral? And it's, you know, it takes time. It does. It takes time. It's so personal for all of us. I mean, there are, to me, in my opinion, there are certain things. Sugar does actually produce a physical craving, as many of you have said, a physiological craving. And then there are certain foods that turn to sugar in your body, too. And isn't it comical that, you know, the Weight Watcher, well, Pain Waves and all the different things we might have tried, you know, allowed us to have a little bit of that kind of thing, you know, kind of a look-alike with the similar ingredients. And no wonder why we couldn't stick to our diets. You know, no wonder why I failed miserably trying to stick to a diet. It just, I was set up for failure from the very start. So, you know, I just, you know, for the newcomer and the people that are struggling, just take an honest appraisal of what it is and, you know, give yourself time to think about, you know, is this something that is just turning me on a little bit too much? And maybe I can give it up and see how it feels. And if I'm, you know, if I'm missing it or wanting it more, then it's probably something that needs to go. So just so grateful that I'm learning and growing, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Darian K. Kathy B., you're up next, followed by Dana P. Star one to unmute, Kathy.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. And this paragraph is it's a very powerful, important paragraph. When I read it, for me, it's like a conclusion of, it's like Dr. Silkworth, the famous doctor, is coming to a conclusion. It's like his assessment from treating thousands of alcoholics, and he's put it into this one paragraph. And it's, for me, it's like he's given us the symptom of what the symptom that all alcoholics have, or compulsive overeaters, that once we, you know, we put in, once we take in our allergic or alcoholic food, you know, it's a manifestation of an allergy and we can't stop. And then he gives us like the prognosis, which I read in this paragraph. It's not very good because it says it's never been permanently eradicated through treatment. And I did look up the word treatment, which kind of goes with medical. So there's no medical treatment, you know, that can cure us from this problem. But he does give us hope, a lot of hope there. He says the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And I looked up the word suggest, and I think that's why he used the word suggest, is it's a possible plan or action for other people to consider. So he wants us to consider and take action. And that action is to, you know, we have to put the food down. And it's not easy, but is it time?
Oh, you went out for a second and I wasn't hearing you, but I hear you right back now. Yep.
Okay, thank you. You know, we have to put the food down, and it's not easy, but for me, I had a sponsor, and I worked the rest of the steps, and I want to say today I am very grateful. I have neutrality around the food. I am very grateful. There's really not any words of the gratitude for this program. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. And we have Dana P. up next, followed by Jill C.
Good morning, Dana P. here in California. Oh, I have a little frog. Pardon me. I really appreciate what's been said this morning, and so things that are worth repeating, and especially speaking to anyone that's new to the program, you know, what am I used to is diet plan. I heard people talk about pay and ways. I never did any of that. That said, is that I thought it was all about the food and or what I did with food or didn't do with food. And referring to this paragraph, it's interesting to note once again that, you know, what was going on with Dr. Silkworth. He's talking about alcoholics and how do we define entire abstinence. Don't drink alcohol. Remove alcohol from our diet, if you will, from our life. And it's a little bit more complicated with the food issues. Mine manifests in many different ways, not so much the actual things. I hear people say flour and sugar and all these different things. There's a lot of behaviors for me. And the paragraph also refers to, okay, these types. So we've gone through a variety of different types of alcoholics, and then it says, and many more. So it's talking about the fact that, you know, I'm the distinct entity. A lot of we's in the book, I tend to change where it says we to I and ask myself a question about that. Does this apply to me? And if so, how? So it's about identifying and. When it comes to what we actually do and or what I actually do and or did for myself with the help of my sponsor and what I do with sponsees, with the help of professionals, nutritionists, wherever they're going to get some information about what it is that they need to do to get to that place of abstinence. It's a process of experiencing what goes on with that. And that's what Dr. Silkworth did, really. He's sharing his experience here. I've seen this, and I've seen this, and I've seen this, and I've seen this. So we get to experiment with the process of discovering what it is that we need to do to come to that definition of entire abstinence for ourselves. I love what we said about this is a personal journey, if you will, about discovering what our entire abstinence is. There is a lot of scientific research about what particular things do with the brain, sugar, other substances, what happens with the brain. But what is it that makes us a distinct entity? It's the essential
reminder.
Yeah, thank you so much. So what comes on after that craving is triggered? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Jill C., you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Jill C. I'm in California. And I love this paragraph. It, to me, is like the backstop of the program. So when I, my experience, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I have food neutrality. But every once in a while, I think I have friends and family that are foodies, and I think, oh yeah, let's do that. And, you know, maybe I could do the wine pairing. And, you know, I think about these things, and then I think, well, wait a minute. I don't even want to start putting anything like that in my body, because I know even if I don't feel the craving, something's happening in there, and I don't want to deal with the result. And then my mind kind of goes to the, well, you know, I'm a little bit of a victim. Like why can't I just do this? Why can't I just be like everyone else? Well, because it says we are a distinct entity. And so I love that even though I consider myself abstinent, I mostly have food neutrality. You know, there's a lot of substitutions that I'm seeing in the grocery store right now from flour and sugar. And I think, oh, what about that? What about that? But thanks to the program, my higher power, I come back to this paragraph and I come back to, yeah, what are you really trying to do here? Am I trying to control this? Can I just accept, you know, this is the new way of life for me. This is my new plan. I'm not like everyone else and it's totally okay. I'm going to be fine. And so, like I said, I really, you know, I think it's a backstop, and I think, as so many people have shared, we evolve So there are times that we don't even think about this, that I don't even think about this. I'm just on my food plan and that's it. Everything's great. And then when things start to creep in, I look around, okay, well, what else is maybe going on? And maybe nothing's going on, but I just have to come back to this and realize, like, I am not like everyone else, and that's okay. And I am grateful for this community and this meeting. So thank you very much, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jill C. We have time for about a 2-minute share. Who would like to take it?
Karen E.
Karen E., it's all yours. Please share with us.
Hi, Karen E. Good morning, recovered compulsive overeater just for today in California. Just wanted to check in. In this paragraph, I have the last sentence underlined with a star next to it. There's never been any treatment by which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only release is to suggest his entire absence. So I came in here after decades and decades of trying to control food, trying to control my weight and eat the way I wanted to eat and then not eat, and every diet. And as I aged because of the progression of this disease, it didn't work like that anymore. And I was so desperate and fortunate to have somebody in my life who is in program, and asked her to help me, and she has. So I only, you know, I don't even have 6 months yet, but so I'm very new in this program, and that's why I have to remind myself every day it's one day at a time. But having neutrality with food is, it's different. And I'm so grateful for it. I feel like I have a sane relationship with food, and you know, it's not like every once in a while that ugly little demon doesn't creep in to try to tempt me, but I just recoil. I'm like, no, that's not, I'm not doing that. I don't want to go down that road ever again. So I'm grateful, and I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much. Wow. Great shares today. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star one to unmute, Robin.
Sorry, I was talking to myself. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.